Hey everybody, today we have the continuing saga of my balls, and can your hero pull himself back from the brink? We'll find out.
Life's not like Flan, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do.
Hey guys. Sorry, I was eating a little chocolate because I can't drink booze because trying not to fuck up my medications here. I'm on medications now. Let's just get right into it, right? Talk about the balls. And when we left you, this is like a new serial. You know, the story of my balls, the never-ending saga of my balls. When we last left you, I believe I had been to the doctor, and they'd said, you might have a hernia. Might not. Let's sign you up for an ultrasound. And I said, that sounds great. That sounds like a plan. A weird female doctor who seems to be about 5 years younger than me. Sounds good. Actually, the female part wasn't... you have to listen to the last episode to understand why that's significant. It's not that I'm like, she's a shitty doctor because she's a woman. Or even, 5 years younger than me, she seemed young. But also, it was more just like the feeling my balls part and then calling another lady into the room fixes it. Here's what's weird. Okay, so she's feeling my balls. I didn't really think about it this way last week, but I was thinking about like, so a doctor's feeling my balls for a hernia, which I fully expected. And calls someone else into the room as a chaperone, which I fully understand, because that's kind of her situation, right? And that makes her more comfortable. And I understand as a doctor, you have to be comfortable. But as a patient, I'm like, I don't know. Can I bring my person? Can I pick? Or couldn't I pick? Couldn't they pick from a lineup like, hey, here's the people who are out there. Who would you like to stand here while I feel your balls? You know what I mean? Anyway. And she was like, well, basically this feeling of your balls was all for naught because I don't know. So let's go get you an ultrasound. And she also said, if you start feeling sick, like really nauseous or fever or anything, just go straight to the emergency room because what can happen is a hernia. So that's like usually part of your bowel and it becomes arrested and then it loses blood. And so, you know, it can die and then they have to remove the tissue and that's like a real fucking surgery. And you don't want to lose bowel because then it's harder to eat hamburgers. So I went through the next couple days in serious ball pain, but whatever, felt the same. Come Friday afternoon, right at the end of work, I start feeling real shitty. Nauseous. And nauseous for me, I don't usually feel nauseous very often. Like, I don't feel pukey very much. I don't puke a lot. I mean, in the last 15 years, 90% of my puking has been from drinking. There was a time I puked from food poisoning. I don't know if I've puked other than those times. I don't know if I've puked just from pure sickness, you know. And the food poisoning, everyone... If you're not familiar with that story, it's just I ate some old-ass sausage and got sick as fuck and puked it up whole. And this is not like a, oh, I threw up once and I'm convinced I had food poisoning. I was down for a week. I couldn't eat shit. And my roommate, who also ate the sausage, was similarly afflicted. But he had the fucking terrible diarrhea shits. So anyway, I'm just saying, I'm not much into the puking. I'm more of a shit guy. That's me. So anyway, I felt super nauseous, terrible. And I'm sitting at my desk at work, you know, and I was like, it was 5. I was like, time to go home. And kind of putting my stuff together, getting ready to get out of there, and just feeling like, ugh, I don't know if I feel so hot, you know, and then was like, well, I'll let it pass. Because, you know, Fridays, I often tend to feel like shit in the afternoon because I, you know, sleep 6 hours on Thursday night and get up and go to work and then kind of just coffee power myself through the day. I couldn't drink for this, so I tried eating chocolate and also eating an apple. One time, someone told me that they read an article that said eating an apple was the equivalent, like energy equivalent, the wake up equivalent of a cup of coffee. And I wanted to smash a hot cup of coffee right in this person's face. That was one of the worst things I've ever heard. It's like, go fuck yourself. If that were true, people would be eating apples like crazy. I would be addicted to that shit. And, you know, there'd be apple bars, apple cafes where you could go and just eat the best apples. Which I am pretty sure are Honeycrisp, by the way, if you're looking for an opinion. Turns out there were some apples that had Listeria, and it's mostly only the two kinds of apples that I eat constantly. So that was nice. It's real nice when you're like, you know, I do one fucking thing right. I eat an apple every here and there, and now that's fucked. So I'm feeling sick, and I go get in my car, and I'm sitting in my car, and I was like, maybe I should just go home and lay down on the couch. But then I was thinking, if I go lay down on the couch and feel sicker, like I was getting sick to the point of, I don't know if I'm going to be able to like rally enough to get back in my car and go somewhere, right? So I was, and then I was like, well, I don't know how much I've talked about this on this show so far, but my current girlfriend, we'll just call, I don't know how much she wants to be involved in any of this, so we'll just call her by, you know, sometimes you have like a cute pet name for somebody that develops in a relationship, and we share that. So I'll just call her by her pet name, Poon Master Flex. This is a real thing. But so I was like, maybe I should call Poon Master Flex and see what she thinks. But as soon as I thought that, I was like, she's going to tell me to go to the hospital. And then I thought, well, rather than call her and make her make that call, I will just be a grown-up and say, I'm going to the hospital. You know, this is like exactly what someone told me was going to happen. And they told me exactly what to do. If it does happen, I'm going to do that thing. So I did call Poon Master Flex and say I was going to the ER. And she was like, I will meet you there. Or she was like, can I come pick you up? And I was like, don't worry, I'm driving myself. Which was fine. I had this moment. So I drove to the hospital and I was, you know, I was nauseous and stuff, but I wasn't like totally out of it or anything. Like I felt like fucking hell, but not pass out or whatever. And there's one more turn. There's a stoplight, you know, and you turn into the parking lot. And I'm waiting there at the stoplight, the intersection, because a car is coming through going straight and I'm turning left. And I swear to God, I'm like waiting for this car and then realize it's going like 20 miles an hour and just like step on the gas and go because I'm not waiting for this asshole. He was easily far enough away that stepping on the gas and going was the right choice. But it bothered me so much because at the time, you know, I'm like sick as fuck and thinking like, God, I feel like hell. And then I was thinking, how come people can't fucking drive? Like, I can fucking drive when I'm on death's door and my bowel is dying. And I still am like, why is this asshole going 20 in a 35? What is going on? So anyway, I get to the hospital and just walk in. By the way, you know, so it's like patient and visitor parking. So I just parked. I didn't go to the actual emergency room. I was like, well, I don't know. And it seems like there's not a lot of parking at the emergency room. So I just park over wherever and just walk into the hospital. And then you're just kind of walking around. I don't know where the fuck I'm going. Like, there's signs every so often that are like, emergency this way and this and that this way. But like, it was weird. I don't know what part of the hospital I was in. I don't know what the fuck's going on in that part. But there was like there was one doctor guy who looked like, it looked like he was a doctor who was getting off work or something. And he was kind of walking towards me in the hallway and just walked past me. And he gave me a look like, that guy's fucked up. But, you know, he's like, ah, screw it. This is just kind of like an office building. So if I see a maniac with a shotgun, I move on. Or, you know, a maniac with a ruptured guts, whatever. So I get to this front desk and this lady's like, can I help you? And I was like, I need to go to the emergency room and get checked out. She's like, okay. And then she explains to me, well, first there's a fucking front desk with some guy just chatting with some chick. And he's like, can I help you? And I was like, yeah, I need to go to the emergency room. And he's like, okay, I'm going to send you back to reception. And then you go back to reception and they're like, okay, well, you're going to go to the emergency room, which is like down the elevator, down the hall, and da 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 da. I'm like, why do you have this front desk? And then they send you to reception and the reception just sends you to the emergency. Like, I told this motherfucker I'm going to the emergency room. What the hell? He's like, what possible thing could he be doing then? If his job is not to say, like, emergency room is that way, and what front desk, what are they doing then? Like, what point is that? Just to say, like, ah, welcome to the hospital. I can do nothing for you here, but 10 feet behind me, there's a real grown-up in a desk who can do shit. And here's the thing. Okay. I'm going to just say, I don't know if anyone who works in any kind of hospital type field has anything to do with this show, but I'm going to tell you this. Most people don't come to the hospital on the regular basis. It would be great if the times people like me did come to the hospital because they were, you know, in an emergency state, if there was like a simpler way to get through the hospital, if there was a pretty clear, like, I don't know, put a fucking red arrow line on the floor that's like, emergency room this way. Just, is that going to bother anyone else? Because then maybe that way the emergency people are like, oh, okay, this is how I get to the emergency room. You know, and she's like, go around the corner, go to this elevator, go down the stairs, and then just keep going to the end of the hallway, take a, you know, and I was like, okay, fuck this, and just kind of started going. And she was like, can you make it to the emergency room? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And she's like, okay. And then she gives me more directions and she's like, do you think you can make it? And I'm just like, how about you just tell me where it is and I'll just go. I will just fucking go. Which I did. So I walked down this huge staircase, by the way. There's like a big staircase and all this crazy wall features and shit. It looked like an office from goddamn RoboCop. Like the office building they're in with weird tile or something. And just thinking, like, why would you, the main front door and the emergency room, what should be in between there? I don't know. Probably it should be on a totally different floor. That seems like a good thing to have injured, sick people do, is go down a flight of stairs, well, two flights of stairs. So I finally get to the fucking emergency room. And, you know, you go up to the front desk and they're like, what can I do for you? And I tell them the whole story. I'm like, yeah, I went to the doctor because I thought I had a hernia, and she wasn't sure. She checked. She wasn't sure. She scheduled me for an ultrasound. That's not till next week, but told me to come in if I started feeling really sick, and I feel really sick. And then she's like, okay, so they had me sign some shit, and then she's like, doctors always ask this question too. On a pain scale of 1 to 10, what would you say you're at? Which I'm like, I wish they knew a little more. I wish they could give me a little more. Because to me, a 10 is like, okay, if I'm at a 10, that means I'm thinking, I would rather die than feel this for one more second. Like, I don't care. Why would you even ask 1 to 10? Because if I'm standing in front of you and not screaming, I can't be at like an 8, 9, or 10, right? I feel like a 10 is basically reserved for a horror movie scenario. Like, I have a if I have a goddamn pitchfork through my eye, I don't think you'll have to ask what my pain is like, because that's really not going to, you know, if I'm holding my innards in my body and I'm in a World War II outfit because I just stormed the beach at Normandy, how important is it how much pain I'm in? Just fucking start doing shit. So anyway, I was like, I don't know, a 5? A 4? A 5? I don't know. I wasn't in a ton of pain. My stomach hurt. My stomach was like hot and hard, but I wouldn't say I was in a lot of pain. Just felt real sick. So then, which is what I said. And so then they're like, go ahead and sit down. And we're in the waiting room. And, you know, the ER waiting room is a fun place. There was a family who had a child wearing a mask, like a germ mask or whatever, except she wasn't wearing it over her nose, just her mouth. So it's like, well, that's good. That's pointless. There was a crazy man who seemed to be some kind of hobo who was saying he got hit by a car, although he seemed to be fine. Well, I really sympathized with the people who worked at the emergency room, because I was like, yeah, I mean, with this guy, I don't know how you would know, like, what's normal behavior for him and what is, like, sign of an internal injury. I don't know that these two baselines are drastically different, sadly. And then there was this guy who was there with his wife, who was in there somewhere, and his wife had cirrhosis of the liver, and they were draining fluid from her stomach so she would be more comfortable for some reason, and she wasn't a drinker or a drug user. I know all this because he had an extremely loud phone conversation in the ER, pacing back and forth, and he didn't seem like concerned. I would excuse this behavior more if I felt like he was like real worried, but he was just kind of like, yeah, well, she's in the hospital again. Nah, cirrhosis. No, cirrhosis. And he had this whole loud-ass conversation, then he left. So he was in the waiting room to have his entire loud-ass phone conversation, and then he left. Like, closed up phone and left, and I was like, you could have been home by now. If you lived here in this story you're telling, you would be home by now. So finally, you know, they call me back, and then they call me back to, like, so they have a desk where I told this whole story. Then they have a guy sitting at another desk who I tell him the whole story again, and then he takes my blood pressure and temperature. And he's like, well, your blood pressure and temperature are a little high, but you're in the emergency room, so it's not abnormal. And so then they have me go into this, you know, exam room. And put on this gown or whatever. And they're like, well, you can leave your top on and put on this gown. They'll have a doctor come in here. I'm like, great. So me and Poon Master Flex are in there. And I'm putting this gown on, this beautiful hospital linen with a design that looks like basically sperms all over it. Like blue and green sperms. And, you know, they're like, you can leave your shirt on because we're not going to need anything in that area. And I was like, cool. And so then I'm taking my pants off. And then I was like, do you think they want me? Should I take my underpants off or leave them on? You know what I mean? Because I was like, I don't know. I feel like I could leave them on, right? Like, how much time am I going to spend with them down versus up? So I went with on. Doctor comes in. He asks me what's going on. He's like, what happened? So I tell the story for like the fifth fucking time that week, not including this goddamn show. So he's like, and I say I was lifting and I was deadlifting. And he's like, oh, that's a hernia. And so then he's like, all right, well, let's take a look. And he's like, if you had any, I don't see any bulging or anything. And I was like, yeah, I haven't had any bulging. And he's like, you haven't felt anything or swollen testicle? And I was like, no, I mean, other than I felt this pull when I was lifting. And he's like, tell me where it hurts. And it was really hard to describe. I was like, the backside kind of on the top of the testicle. And he's like, on the testicle? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, that's not a hernia. That's epididymitis. And I was like, okay. And he's like, well, all right. I didn't feel anything. I didn't see anything, but we're going to get you an ultrasound and make sure that's not what it is. He's like, could be a hernia, could be epididymitis, could be both. And he explained what an epididymis is. I'll just explain it like this. It's a gland, and it kind of sits on your testicle like a little yarmulke. And so when it gets swollen, it just crushes your testicle. And basically the sensation from the past week has been just someone lightly but forcefully squeezing my balls just constantly all day. Like nonstop, just sort of crushing my nards. My nards. So then we just sit there for a while. I lay there. I sat on the bed. I laid on the bed, you know, and I was kind of trying not to puke. I felt pretty sick still. And Poon Master Flex was a little worried about me, I think. I was trying to make some jokes and keep it light or whatever. And then nurse comes in and starts an IV. And they gave me some kind of painkiller. I don't know what it was. Not like a loopy one, but more like an anti-inflammatory thing, I guess. And she was cool. She had braces. And I was like, ah, how long have you had your braces? And she's like, oh, I just got them in May or whatever. I was like, I just got mine off. But yeah, she's like, oh, I'll get mine off before I'm 30. And I was like, that's what I was shooting for, and I did not make it. Braces, adult braces, good touch point, though. Fun. Real fun identifying. Anyway, so then they do a shift change, which I guess is just they come in and wipe the names off the board, and then you have a different doctor. And so then this lady comes in, and she's like, we're going to get you an ultrasound, so just hang out. And finally, the ultrasound lady shows up, and I'm on the bed, and she's like, all right, we'll take you down the hall to the ultrasound thing. And I was like, I mean, I can walk if you want. Like, I'm not disabled or whatever. But she's like, well, we don't actually have a bed in there, so I need to take the bed regardless, so you might as well just take a ride. And I was like, okay. So she's pushing me down the hall. And she's saying, you know, like, I was asking her because they had this button that opens the doors and stuff. And I was like, do people get disappointed that you don't just crash this fucking thing through the doors? Like, is that a problem? And she's like, actually, no one asks, but that would be cool. And I was like, well, if you feel the need, let's crash this goddamn cart through the door. Like, I'll scream or writhe around if that's what's required. So we go in this room. It's like a little nicer and kind of dimly lit. And I was like, oh yeah, because this is like where you go to see your baby. That kind of room, because this is an ultrasound. So Poon Master Flex is kind of sitting off to my left, and this lady's with the machine off to my right. And you know, she's like, okay, well, we're gonna check for hernia, and then you know, also, you know, sound wave your testicle or whatever. And we'll have to do both because, you know, that way they can compare and all that. And so she put this goo all over my balls and, you know, my taint area and stuff. And then you have to, like, flex like you're doing a sit-up, but don't do a sit-up, like a crunch. I think they could just say do a crunch. We're all familiar with that, right? Or like you're trying to shit out a big shit, but not through your butthole, through your taint. That would make sense to me, too. So anyway, we do that, and then she's, you know, sound waving my balls, and we're in this room, you know, and they turn on this thing to listen to the blood flow, because I guess they also were like, you could have a testicular torsion where it gets, like, twisted around. I was like, Jesus Christ, that sounds awful, too. So they listen to the blood flow. So we're in this, you know, dimly lit room, and I got to hear the inside of my balls. I heard what the inside of my balls sounds like, inside my ball sack. And I'm here to tell you, it sounds pretty goddamn similar to the ultrasounds I hear of like a baby on a TV show. I heard my pulse in my balls. I heard the heartbeat. The seat of the soul is really the balls. And boy, was that ever more evident than last Friday. And I was laying there, too, and this lady's, like, putting this thing all over my balls and just whatever. And she was, like, really trying to keep me covered up and everything, which I appreciated. I never know. Here's what I don't know with hospital staff and, like, doctors and shit. I'm like, hey, if it's easier for you, I have no pride about... Here's the thing. I'm not, like, proud of my dick and balls. I'm not like, yeah, let's whip this shit out. I have so little pride that really nothing will faze me. You know, as I assume the doctor isn't going to be like, ooh, geez, that's a tiny little dick. You know, I've seen enough dicks and I'm like, I don't know, I'm just somewhere in the middle. Who knows? And balls, probably the same. So if it's like, eh, if we just have you uncovered, you know, bottomless on this cart, that's a lot easier for us. I would be fine with that. But on the other hand, I don't want to be like, hey, let's just whip this shit out. Let's look at my balls. Because, I don't know, they're like a person, and maybe, for all I know, she sits there most of the day, and she's like, yeah, I mostly witnessed the miracle of life, not the miracle of inside of someone's balls. So this isn't necessarily why I went to medical school of some kind, or whatever. I don't know what kind of school you go to do that shit. So he listens to my balls. She's, you know, waving the thing over my balls and like doing all this shit. And then I looked over at Poonmaster Flex and she was like looking off into the corner of the room, you know, like conspicuously not looking at my action going on. And I just looked over and was like, hey, you're not looking at that screen, are you? I don't want you seeing the inside of my balls. The outside is one thing, but the inside, that's too intimate. Yeah. And she really wasn't, and then was worried, I think, that I thought she was, which I was like, why? This screen, I couldn't see the screen, and neither could she, but I know what an ultrasound looks like. It looks like nothing. I bet my balls look pretty similar to when they show someone's baby. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I still forever have thought an ultrasound, I'm like, I think they just like print out a goddamn picture. They're just like, whatever. We took one ultrasound of a baby in 1974 and we just give it to everybody. And, you know, we just adjust the cropping on it and enlarge or smallen it depending where the baby's at. But who cares? We just took a picture of a fucking Cabbage Patch doll in a real dark room and it's all curled up. And we're like, oh my God, this is definitely in your stomach. This is not just a bunch of, you know, this is not just like a real weird painting that some asshole did with, or a charcoal drawing someone did of an outline of a fetus. This is definitely a science picture. That's for sure. Not an art picture. Goddamn science. So we got to listen to my balls and then I get wheeled back and they just take me back out and, you know, then we sit around for some more. I mean, here's the thing. Everything went fairly fast and seemed pretty straightforward. We were there for like 6 hours. It takes fucking forever to go to, or I don't know, four and a half, forever. We're in the emergency room forever. And so they give me, you know, this person, the new doctor talks to me and she's like, okay, well, and they took urine and they took blood. They did all this shit. She's like, well, we'll have to test for sure, but you know, we didn't find any hernias. They did find a cyst on one of my testicles, which he was like, but it looks like it's fine and these don't usually grow and stuff. And I was like, okay. I have no idea what a testicle cyst may or may not do, and I don't care. who cares? And also, again, I'm like, I'm going to have to go back to these fucking doctors I've been to in the past who supposedly felt my balls. And be like, hey, what the hell, man? You feeling my ball cyst? What's going on? Assist my cyst with your fist. But she's like, but no hernia, which I was like, well, that's good. Because, you know, hernia is a surgery. That's going to be a surgery. And, you know, I read up on the hernia, the kind of hernia that I thought I had, linguinal. Usually what they have to do is, they can either cut some small, you know, do a laparoscopic thing and do it in your stomach, which would be great. Or they have to just basically cut a 3-inch slit in your ball sack and they go in through the ball sack and then, you know, sew up your ball sack, which I'm like, well, that sounds fucking terrible. That sounds like the worst way to do that. Is there some way you could also do something to my butt? I mean, could you also rub a sandpaper over my eye while I'm out? And then that can be a new thing I can experience too. Just what are the worst things you could do? And let's go over those options. So then she's telling me like, well, it's not a hernia. And so it looks like it's epididymitis. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and she's like, but you know, it gets really infected. And so it's like an infection. So they gave me like an IV shot of antibiotics and they had me take like these four pills of antibiotics and then gave me a prescription for more antibiotics and then also a painkiller. She's like, are you in a lot of pain? And I was like, I mean, right now, I would say so. So she's like, here's what it is. And then they give me all this information sheets too that are like, here's what could happen. And it was like, well, a lot of times, this is the result of, unchecked gonorrhea or syphilis, which I was like, oh, that's awesome. And, you know, I didn't really think that these were likely for me. I know that when you have a girlfriend who goes by Poon Master Flex, it sounds like you might be living a wild lifestyle. But I don't like to take a lot of walks on the wild side. I dance on the wild side, motherfucker. But no, in all seriousness, I have not slept with a lot of people, and most of the people I've slept with have not really slept with a lot of people. So I was like, unless I've been harboring this for like 5 years, seems pretty unlikely. So then we go, you know, I kind of get dressed and I shuffle my way out, and they force you to go through this little room where they're like, here's what your bill is going to be. I'm like, oh my God. And it was $1,600. And I told Poon Master Flex this was the most expensive date we've ever had. First I asked if this was a date earlier. I was like, hey, does this count as a date? Because, you know, we're out together. We're in an unusual place. We've never been together before. Sharing an interest in my balls and a concern. So, the lady's like, how much of this can you pay today? And I was like, in my weakened state, you know, my first thought was like, I wonder if I can negotiate her down. I seriously had this like brief fantasy where I like sit on the desk kind of sideways, you know, and then I'm like, listen, I know this says $1,600, but maybe there's something you and I can negotiate. Then I just lean in and I'm like, I might even have gonorrhea if that does anything for you. I don't even know what that is, really. Just one of the ones that you can have that everyone is like, you don't want it. So I just paid some and was like, well, this is awesome. Because I was thinking, like, I think this was almost the exact amount of the tax return I was shooting for, which is real cool. So we head over to a Walgreens to get my prescriptions. I don't know what the fuck takes so long at a Walgreens. They're like, oh, yeah, okay, well, you know, I have to get a total of 15 pills together here. Oof. You know, we have chairs, so enjoy that. So I bought some soup, sat in a chair, got my prescriptions, and then went home. So I got home, I ate this bowl of soup, and broke into an immediate hot sweat, and like was so, I have not been this nauseous that I could remember. Like, all I could do was lay down on the couch with my hood on and try not to vomit. And I didn't want to vomit because I was like, I just took all these drugs. I feel like these drugs might be necessary to live. I'm not a doctor, but I feel like they should be necessary to live. Also, you know, the sticker shock of $1,600, I felt like, hey, man, I don't want to. It's like puking up, you know, $500 or whatever. So I don't want to do that. But I was just sick as fuck and just kind of passed out, sweating. And I was seriously doing the counting the breaths, counting 10 breaths at a time. And was like, all right, if I can get 10 more. This is my normal procedure when I know I've drank too much and I'm going to throw up, is if I'm doing that. But I guess I willpowered enough and didn't throw up. I woke up 6 in the morning or something, and Poon Master Flex had very sweetly, I was laying on the couch and she was sitting next to me, and then she had just curled up on the floor next to the couch. And I was like, you don't have to sleep on the floor. You know, and she's like, well, are you going to bed? And I was like, I don't think I can. She was like, well, then I'm not going either. Which was like very sweet, although especially if you've seen my apartment, my couch, literally the back of my couch provides a wall on the side of my bed. This is not a rangy estate, you know, where I'm like, if hey, listen, if you want to check on me, pick up one of these phones. You'll find them in every room and dial 481. And, you know, that'll ring into my den where, you know, I'll be in my smoking jacket passed out because of my balls are broken. Anyway, I went to bed. Supposed to work this weekend, but I did not because, you know. And here's a weird thing, too. So I called my boss and was like, I had to go to the emergency room. I can't come in. And normally I would just call in sick, except on a weekend, I kind of have to. You got to be pretty do or die. You got to kind of be like, yeah, listen, I cannot come in. And she's like, oh my God, you know, what happened? Are you okay? And I was like, I am okay. And then you're like, do I tell my boss that it could have been like, well, I have a very advanced case of syphilis, like way out of control. Who would have thought, right? Me. Obviously, you don't need to go there, but you're like, well, where do I go? And I just kind of said like, yeah, well, I had told her I was going to go get an ultrasound. So I was like, well, they thought it might be a hernia and told me to go if I felt sick. And then I felt real sick last night. So I went in and I've been calling it an infection. I've just like, I had a very, very bad infection and I can't move. You know, it took every strength I had to go into the bathroom and take this phone call and then just come back out and sleep for like 7 more hours. So that's been basically my life. I've just been eating these antibiotics and the pain pills. Here's a disappointment for me. I thought, you know, I've always been on this quest to find, like, what is Peter's drug? And, you know, weed is obviously not the choice. Booze is, I suppose, but painkillers, they don't really do much for me. Like, I don't feel loopy. I don't feel, you know, this floaty sense of happy well-being or whatever. I don't really feel any different when I take painkillers. And they're like, don't take them when you go to work. But I went in the other day and was like, I'm going to take half of one just because I cannot work with my ball hurts this bad. Like, that just doesn't happen. That's not going to be good for anyone. So I took one. I feel no different when I take them. But so that's, there you go. There's the story. This is what happened. My ball feels better. I don't feel great still. But I do feel better than, certainly better than I did a week ago. Let's put it that way. Well, not a week ago today. A week ago, Friday. I hope on Friday, I'm sure I'll feel better because that was the worst day. And, you know, I honestly felt kind of okay other than my ball hurting. So I'm leaving the hospital and the nurse is like, so they took blood and urine and they'll get these test results. But they might not call you. You might have to call them, especially if they don't find anything. And I was like, okay. But she didn't give me a phone number or anything like that. She's just like, eh. So I had to call like two or three times to get the test results because I called. And it's like when you call there, they have never heard of someone calling in before to get test results. And I was like, I don't know either. You know, they'd be like, oh, well, did someone transfer you to us? And I'm like, yeah, here's what I'm doing. I took a test and they said you have to have a doctor tell you. So, you know, someone at the lab is like, yeah, your results are here. I can't tell you because it has to be a doctor. And I was like, okay. I mean, do you want to just make a funny voice? So I think you're a doctor. Well, hello, I'm Dr. So-and-so. Here's your results. And of course, then you freak out too, because you're like, the doctor needs to tell you. And you're like, okay, so it's definitely fucking AIDS, right? They found something horrible. And they're like, a doctor has to be there. So I, you know, when I spin out of control or whatever. And then I was just like, actually, probably not. And also, I woke up in the middle of the night the other night and was like, what if I do have AIDS? Is it possible? And I'm like, it's not impossible. But then I thought, I feel like if I had AIDS, they would be trying a little harder to get in touch with me, right? They're like, oh, shit. This guy has AIDS. So I called and finally got this sort of recalcitrant guy who was just like, and what tests are you calling for? And I was like, I blood and urine. And he was like, what specifically were they testing for? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I had epididymitis. They were trying to figure out what caused it. I peed. I got stabbed. Here's what bothered me about this, okay? I'm like, this is my pee and blood. I paid for these tests, like, out the ass here. Just give me the fucking results. How about that? How about instead of, like, making it seem like, I don't know about... How about I could just decide? Can I just waive my rights to whatever? Also, then my regular doctor's office called twice. They called like Monday and Tuesday, and you know, it was a nice lady, and she was like, hey, we're just checking up on you after your emergency room visit. Wanted to make sure you're taking your medication and da-da-da-da. Which, like, I didn't even think about it, but then I was thinking, you know, if this lady the other day had diagnosed me properly... Number one, she was setting me up to go get this fucking ultrasound, which probably would have cost like $500. Number two, I wouldn't have been all sick and shit. Like, I would be fine. If she had just started me on antibiotics right then, I would probably be fine now. So anyway, kind of screwed. And, you know, it would have turned a $1,600 hospital visit into a $60 prescription situation. Actually, probably like 40. Who knows? Less than 100. So, but then I wouldn't have had my most expensive date of all time by a factor of, I don't know, 12. That's the story of my balls, everyone. So, I don't know, I'm still in a little pain. It was, so obviously it looks through the things and it's like, do not have sex until you're done recovering. So I'm like, well, yeah, I don't think I should be shooting infected sperm into somebody. That seems like a recipe for disaster. Right? Like, that's probably diseased jism is not a desirable quantity. But then I was like, well, okay, so it's this gland that's near my balls and the sperm travels through it. I was like, should I be like regularly blasting something through there? In other words, should I be jacking off? Is that conducive to health or bad? You know, like, so if you have a urinary tract infection, I would think that you should drink more water than normal and continue peeing. I wouldn't think they'd be like, hold your pee as long as possible. But if your epididymis is infected, should you be holding in cum or shooting it out, getting rid of it? Or, you know, doing it on a semi-regular, what's the optimum? The internet, unsurprisingly... unhelpful in this regard. My God. You know, and like, no, there's no like actual doctor thing that's like, oh, well, here's what you should do. It's all some idiot on Yahoo Answers. And here's, I swear to God, I've never come across so many forums, you know, some guy who's just like, I had epididymitis and I have a doctor from Pakistan and he told me that the reason that I got epididymitis is because I was masturbating and to not masturbate, and then I wouldn't get it. And, you know, then some other guy was like, you should listen to your doctor. I stopped masturbating when I had epididymitis. I took that as a chance to, you know, become more spiritual and get in touch with myself and stop masturbating. And I've never looked back and never masturbated since. No, good for you. I'm just looking to heal my balls. Like, I'm not, like, at a point right now. You know, luckily, I was pretty goddamn ill. So the concerns of masturbation were, like, pretty far down the list. Right? Or having sex was out of the question. Beating off. If you're, okay, I'm guessing. I wonder how this is for ladies, and I doubt I'll be able to get any kind of answer. Because I don't know how anyone would answer this without an embarrassment. I will tell you that for a gent, if you stay home sick with a cold, let's say you stay home 2 days, if you spend 2 days and you're sick and you're just kind of in pajamas and stuff, then there's half a chance you're going to beat off. Now, I will say this too. Usually it's a lot easier to go to sleep after you beat off. So if you're just like laying on the couch napping and you kind of wake up and you're like, tossing and turning, you might toss and turn your peen and then you go to sleep. But I wonder if ladies do, you know, if a lady's home with a cold or whatever, is it like a 50-50 chance they might do some jacking off, or is it a, you know, 70-30, or is it equal to normal, greater than normal, less than normal? Like, I would say for a guy, on a given day, if it's a sick day, greater than normal chance, just because you're kind of home all day in, like, pajama pants. It's just very accessible, and you don't really have a lot else you can do. You know, when I'm sick, I'm like, I don't know, I can't read a book. Like, I just feel like shit. I can't really play a video game or anything. That's making me fucking nauseous. I don't even want to sit up, really. It also feels like kind of the only exercise you're getting. Like, you'll feel real out of breath. Like, oh my God. It's a nice barometer, too. Because you're like, well, if beating off that much effort made me feel this exhausted, like, I'm like, I am, that's it for the day. I'm not ready to work today. It was a good choice to stay home. I did, I stayed home Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I'm back Tuesday, but on Monday, you know, I did like test the waters a little. I'll tell you what, after 3 days in your apartment, tiny studio apartment, you know, leaving as far as the dumpster, that's as far as I went. Like, the outside world is real amazing. You know what I mean? Just buildings and stuff. You're like, oh, some guy built that. That's cool. This church is all bricks. Some guy put all these bricks together. What a world, huh? You know, everything is kind of awesome. I don't know. It makes me wonder. I just like, I've spent a lot of my youth and a lot of my life pretty sick. And I feel like I do have a pretty good appreciation for health. Like, you know, when, oh, to my health or to our health. Like, nothing is worse than being ill. Like, when your body's not working properly and you just feel like shit, there's nothing worse. Like, I can't imagine anything that's more just awful, you know? And when you're just sick and you're like, ugh, and you're just thinking like, this is what it's going to be like when I'm old. Like, that's what I always fear is, you know, that when I'm 80, it'll basically be, every day will be like now when I'm sort of sick. Sort of just getting over being sick, but not quite there, and I'm just real tired and shit. I feel like that's going to be what everyday life is when I'm 80. And then you have these, you know, crisis thoughts. That doesn't help anything. But so then when you do recover from being sick, it's like the world is awesome. And you do, I don't know, maybe this has probably shaped some of who I am. I got to be honest. The sickness and the, you know, when I was a kid, I would just basically get sick in the winter and stay sick until it wasn't the winter. And then, you know, be briefly healthy for a couple months, get sick once real good in the summer, and then be good until the late fall where I would get sick and then winter again. And just have a cold the whole time or whatever. But I wonder sometimes if it's, if that's part of what makes me happy to like go for a run or go to the gymnasium or be outside or do things a little bit more. Cause I'm like, ugh, there's nothing worse than when you're sick and you can't do what you want. Like, I don't know. I guess I feel like maybe forever 15 to 20% of my time where I could be doing something I want to do will just be being sick or recovering from being sick. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's hard for me to spend a not sick time, like, just hanging out, sitting, watching TV or whatever. It does not feel good. Maybe that's something to do with it. I don't know. It's probably too much analysis for this little show, which is basically focused on my balls. And the message for today is I heard inside my balls. I cannot stress that enough. I have heard the inside of the balls, and it is a terror zone. Well, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for the update. Thanks for the update. You're welcome for the update. My plan is when anyone asks me about this from now on, I'm going to be like, just fucking listen to episode whatever this is. Pete's Balls Part 2. That'll give you the full story on what happened. I already had to tell the story of the first podcast like 8 times. I should have just recorded that, brought it with me to the emergency room. Then they could have heard it with jokes and been like, oh, okay, well, now I understand and I identify with you. Because, yeah, it is weird that they just, you know, have someone extra in the room to watch your balls be felt. I identify with both sides of that situation. All right. Thanks for listening. Dream.